F2. Number 30A, B.
So that's my thing, the rock. My thing's a rock. And that's why he couldn't enter the promised land. Because Moses was always standing outside the promised land. And he had always a rock, you know, on which he hammered on, a truth on which he hammered on. Whereas the epistle says, no, all what you have to do is want to accept this truth through the spirit of consciousness. Accept it. All right, do your work right there. Do it. Establish the truth about the situation well. But then, don't smite anymore. Stay there. Claim it. Have it. And don't go away anymore. Hold that fact within you, whatever comes against you. See, then we make that our own, and so we are in the promised land and stay in the promised land. So, he shows with this, you see, with this A, B, and C, so to say, the practitioner state of consciousness. The practitioner is not only to see the truth, but only to see A as a 1, 2, 3, and 4. He has also to take in the promised land. And not always stay outside the promised land and smite the Christ truth, but have the Christ truth stay with him and never go away anymore from that what he has gained through the A, through accepting the faith. Never go away again from it, but remain in that and stick to that through whatever arguments may come, then it can begin to live within us, that truth. So, this sense of practice, is that what Mrs. Eddy really had in view when she tried to show in the chapter on the Christian Science practice, especially at the beginning of part two, mental treatment illustrated, where she shows that there are two ways of treating. The one is through argumentation, and the one is through spiritual science. She says, both, I allow both. She didn't say, don't argue. Sometimes we are in the position where perhaps error just tries to overwhelm us, and all that perhaps we still can do at that moment is to argue about it. All right, then, argue about it. That's all right. And she hasn't anything against that. But she says, that's not really that which I preach and which I show. Its argumentation has not the level of spiritual consciousness. And that is the reason why Moses could achieve something. The rock brought forth water. That treatment was all right. It was effective in a way. You see, it brought forth water, and the children of Israel could drink, but it didn't bring him into the promised land. So, the method of arguing and argumentation is a method, but it isn't the Christly scientific method. And the epistles teach us the fundamentals of this Christly scientific method of treating disease. Well, that's in a brief over review what these epistles really try to show us for our practical attitude in life. So, you go now home, and I don't know what happens with each one, but I would like to say some fundamental points, which I think I have the right to say out of experience, out of many years' experience in teaching and in lecturing and in trying to lead the thought further. I would say, be careful about the new vision. One sees so often that one could give something new to a student within a week's class, because naturally it's an ideal way of leading thoughts upward and upward when one can have a student away from everything, away from home and away from problems, and have that thought always ready and can always nurture it, but and can perhaps lift it up and lift it up. But then one has to be careful when one goes back or forward to one's home and to one's daily life. Animal magnetism is like a roaring lion and tries to come and take away what one has gained. The revelation shows that the mother who gave birth to the child, that the dragon was standing right beside, trying to devour what has been born. And so we must be careful that the world doesn't take hold of us, so that that little seed which has been planted will be trodden down. So just be careful now as you go home. The first week, the first, second, 3 weeks will be the most important one, to keep the flame alive. Nurture that flame. Don't think, well, I have now given a week to this idea, now I have to catch up with everything at home and leave that child into the in the cold, unnurtured, so that you give it, don't give it the warmth it needs, or it gets stiff and frozen and dies out. Just love it as you go home in the next few weeks, and if you can do that, then it can, to say, get root, it can take root, it takes root, and then it can grow. So that is a point which I would like you to remember. Another point is, have faith in the promise. Have faith in the promise. What we have considered is a promise. We haven't got it yet. I haven't got it yet, you haven't got it yet in its fullness. We never will get it in its fullness. It will always be unfolding and unfolding, thank God. It will always be bigger. But let's have faith in that promise and in that seed. I think we should be like those Brother Wrights who have made the first hop with an airplane, you know, 60 years ago or so. Think only 60 years ago, a little hop of a few hundred yards. If they could see what happens now, a rocket around the world within 90 minutes, you know, they would hardly believe it. And yet, it happened. Yes, it happened. If 60 years ago one would have told them that after 60 years one would fly within a few hours from Zurich to Los Angeles, that a man would rocket round the earth in 90 minutes, he wouldn't have believed it. And yet it happened. You see? Well, because in the world was that motherhood sense which believed in the future, which believed that an idea could unfold in infinity, unrestrictedly, unboundedly. Well, if that is true with a human invention, that is true with a new concept in the human, how much more will it be true in the divine? How much more? The only thing is, do we have a motherhood on this world, wherever it is, a motherhood who believes in that child and who can see the promise of that child? Think of the promise. That we live in an age of science, where in all religions, in all countries, in all races, the idea of science is being nurtured. Education takes place in all countries, the science of physics, the science of medicine, the science of biology, the science of astronomy, the science of chemistry is nurtured and nurtured in everyone, irrespective of religion, race, country, color. The idea of science is nurtured. Now, the idea of science will unfold. Physical science is not so interesting to unfold, but the idea of science is the interesting part that will unfold. And it shows itself at first as advancement in physical science, and advancement in astronomical science, and advancement in chemical science. But what really unfolds is science, not the adjective, science. And so think what it will do if it prepares worldwide thought, irrespective of classifications, human classifications, prepares thought to accept something scientifically. Well, then it's only a small step to push material science into that border where it cannot go further, and it touches metaphysical science. And we witness that too today, that everything comes to that border where every science begins to feel there is something beyond that material plane, beyond the metaphysical. But it will be certain that if they touch that which is beyond, they will touch it with what they have, namely with their scientific sense. So that's why I feel we just must be ready that anyone on this world who has a scientific sense finally can touch spiritual science. No matter if he's a Mohammedan, or if he's a Parsi, or if he's a Christian, it's the consciousness of science that touches science. And so let's have this promise that what we do is an enormous job, has an enormous promise. Just as is the thing without price. Just something enormous. It happens unnoticed. The beginning will be meek. The world doesn't know it. But one thing we know. The world is no more the same because of the summer school. Can no more be the same. The world just can't be the same anymore. Because in the summer school, the idea of man as the idea of science, that man as the idea of a calculus, is being born. And therefore, the world can no more be the same. If those brothers write, you say write, you see, if they had seen that, they would have rejoiced in it in anticipation of what would happen. Now let's do that. Let's do that. Let's rejoice in anticipation of what this idea can do to this world. The idea does. It's not me, it's not you. It's the idea. And we have seen today that it is always the science of being that gives birth to a new idea. Never an Abraham, never a Jesus, never a Mrs. Eddy, never a human being. It is always in spite of Abraham, in spite of Jesus, in spite of Mrs. Eddy, in spite of us, that the idea of science is being born. Because that science has a Christ. So we know, and let's know it, so that the roaring lion doesn't come and take it away and swallow it up, so that we can remain a mother, and let's be a mother. Well, to be a mother is to have that attitude which is now necessary, that you can now ponder what you know. Try to ponder what you know. You see, the world of life says, start with mind. It says, see first what this whole idea is. And you have done that. You have read the books. You have read dozens of books. Everyone tells me the same thing. He says, I have a whole library of these books. And usually they ask, but I really don't know what's all about. That's right. That's completely right. There's nothing wrong about that, you know, because it's mind you have touched. The way of life starts with mind, and mind is knowing, is vision, is surveying the whole field. But it doesn't do more than that, mind. is surveying the whole field. See, just as the Bible in the first 1,000-year period really presented everything. It presented the seven in the 7 days of creation, presented the four intertwined into the seven. It presents the three degrees through the three sons of Abraham. It presented the translation sense. It presented immortality, Enoch was translated. It presents the whole thing, but only a presentation. It wasn't given birth. So it's all right if you, at the beginning, read a lot just to get the survey, a panorama view of what's all about with this science of Christian science. But then, little by little, you will feel that you come to an end when you just say, I just can't read anymore. That's a healthy state. That's the most healthy state you can read. Then you touch spirit. Then you come to spirit, and then you say, now, let's give birth to that. Where you begin to ponder what you know. And your main stress begins to be on digesting that what you have read, on digesting what is in those books, of pondering, of loving it. That's the second thing, spirit. And that's all right. And some of you feel that's where what they have now touched. So just consider that being is a way of life. Go the way of life.